David's mind goes back to simpler times when he was a young boy shepherding his father's sheep. His mind goes back to a time when the lion, the bear, Saul, and his son, or one of his many other enemies, was running after him, chasing him, seeking to tear him down. I am sure that glimpses of the many paths of righteousness and the shadowy valleys that God led David through flashed before his mind. This assertion of David's looking back is illustrated in his wording, which is reminiscent of his enemies, who were at one time in Psalm 27 only present. But in Psalm 27, they are now coming upon him to eat of his flesh. This looking back is also illustrated through David's expression of his continued desire to dwell in the house of the Lord. There is not only evidence of David looking back, but if we look at this psalm, there is also the presence of deep humility and repentance that hovers over it and those that come directly before it and immediately after it, wherein David is crying out to the Lord like he did in Psalm 25, crying out for God to teach him his ways and to show him God's path. Looking back was necessary for David. It reminded him of the goodness of God that had been over his life. It reminded David of the time when God called him out of obscurity, delivered him from the lion and the bear and all his enemies, and matured him through it all. And if it wasn't enough, God also gave David the privilege of being the shepherd king over his people, the sheep of his pasture. Looking back was necessary for David because it allowed him to see that after all that he had been through, the goodness of the Lord, that is the faithful covenant maker and the faithful covenant keeper, the Lord, had been with him all of the days of his life. And he would be with him in every day that would come after it. Looking back gave David the ability to see that the goodness of God had been chasing after him every one of those days. This weekend, we have gathered to celebrate 30 years of Apostle David and Pastor Linda trusting in the goodness of God. As they have looked back, we have heard words that are reminiscent of simpler times. Times when you were meeting in the living room. Times when you gathered up the children and came downstairs and you gave God praise and gave him glory for all that he had done. I believe that at some point over the past few days, their minds went back to when God initially called them to pastor Faith Temple, which would become Living Faith Christian Center, Whidbey Island. And I'm really particular about saying Whidbey Island because there is another Living Faith. It's all the way on the other coast in Newport News, Virginia. But Living Faith Newport News was birthed out of Living Faith Whidbey Island. And we thank God for that. Amen? Amen. I'm sure they thought about times when times were difficult, when they and the ministry were younger and God had delivered them from the lion of lack, the bear of discouragement, close friends or church members and even family members who were being used by the enemy to chase them down and try to destroy the vision. I'm sure that they looked back and they saw times when if it had not been for the Lord on their side, they don't know where they would be. I have no doubt in my mind that there have been moments over these last few days, and not just these last few days, but over every day of these 30 years, where their mind fell on times where they were worried and concerned and wondering what God would do, wondering how God would bring them through, wondering what was going to happen on the next day, wondering if they were going to get in, if they were going to get out, if this one was going to come. I know that there have been opportunities over these past few days where God allowed them to look back over their life and think things over. We saw it illustrated when they talked about 800 plus people making their way through this ministry. And I'm sure they thought about it as they looked out over the congregation over the past several days and their eyes fell on the many who had returned with grateful hearts to celebrate them on this weekend. Glory to God. Whether we recognize it or not, beloved, these moments of looking back, we witness evidences of waters that run deep and teem with humility and maturity. The kind of humility and maturity that comes as a result of holding on to God's unchanging hand while the earth all around them was sinking sand. The kind of humility that comes from keeping their eyes on Jesus who is the author and the finisher of their faith. The kind of maturity that has been able to stand and having done all to stand for 30 long years. That's a long time. Many of us haven't done anything for 30 years. I've been married 30 years and I still look back and say, what? If it had not been for the Lord on our side. So I know what I'm talking about. Ain't nothing I read. It's something I know. 30 years is a long time. And over these 30 years, they have lifted their eyes beyond the hills and set them on the author and the finisher of their faith, who is Jesus Christ. They have looked to him and nobody else for the path, the journey, the way, the directions that only God can give. And there is a deep humility that is present in their character, in their life, and in their words. Now, somebody know what I'm talking about. Somebody knows about that deep humility and maturity that I'm talking about right now. It's the kind that grows deeper in moments when we have sinned and fallen short, but the Lord has stayed with us. Now, I know we're talking about them, but we can recognize that what we say about them is also true about us. We know about that time when we messed up and God was right there. We were like, God, you're still here? He was like, I'm right here. I told you if you make your bed in hell, I'll be right there with you. Somebody knows the kind of deep humility that grows out of moments when you look up to God and you declare, oh God, against you and you alone have I sinned. And God says, but I've already sent a Savior to forgive you. The kind of humility and maturity that develops even when we are faithless, because God remains faithful. It is what results in times when, like David, Pastor Apostle David and Pastor Linda have cried out to God, declaring, God, show me your way. Teach me your ways that I may teach transgressors your ways. I'm talking about the kind of fruit that is produced out of the process of contrition and true repentance. Looking back over the past 30 years is necessary, saints, because it reminds Apostle David and Pastor Linda of the goodness of God that has run like a red thread through a black and white tapestry of their lives. The kind that called them out of obscurity, delivered them from all their enemies, matured them and shaped them over these past 30 years and through it all. And they know if it wasn't enough, they thank God that God blessed them with the privilege of being under shepherds over the sheep of his pasture. Looking back is necessary for Apostle David and Pastor Linda because it allows them to pause and see that after all that they have been through, over and against and much faster than the enemies that have been chasing them, the goodness of God has always been with them, running after them, pursuing them, chasing them down and overtaking them, and then using them to build many different aspects of his kingdom, like you and me, like my marriage and your marriage, like my children and your children, like your houses, your finances. For David, the psalmist, not our apostle, looking back over his life produced a declaration of confident faith. Let's look at the text. I told you we were going to talk about it. In verses 1-3, David declares, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When my enemies, the wicked, came upon me to eat of my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this will I be confident." Again, context helps us to see the point. By the time David expresses these words, he has moved from rebel on the run to royal ruler over the people of God. And along with this positional promotion, the threat from his enemies has escalated into all-out warfare. But he has trusted in the Lord. No matter what has come against him, David has trusted in the Lord. And our apostle and our pastor cry out from the same place of looking back and seeing the goodness of the Lord in their lives. The Lord has been their light and their salvation. They had no reason to fear. The Lord has been the strength of their life. They don't need to be afraid. When the enemies came upon them, and you know they done had some enemies, the enemy of finances, the enemy of people, the enemy of backbiting, the enemy of deception, division, wickedness, all kind of things came upon me. They lifted up their eyes and they looked to the Lord. When the coup started out trying to take over, God said, not so. They trusted in the Lord. 30 years of confidently trusting in the goodness of the Lord has produced a confident declaration of faith in Apostle David and Pastor Linda. On Friday night, Pastor Burleson talked about how careful they both are about the words that come out of their mouths. They live this. They live this. This ain't something they just put on Sunday. They live. You heard out of the mouth of their children. We heard it last night. This is who they are in Christ. This is who God has created them and formed for them to be. And you and I have witnessed it. We've seen it in their continued perseverance in ministry. Even after all that they have been through over the past 30 years, after dealing with all of your stuff. And my stuff. And everybody else's stuff. Even after all of that, they still remain confident. They still remain steadfast. They remain, and in their witness, there remains a certain confidence in the words that proceed from their mouth. A couple of weeks ago, when Pastor David blessed me with the honor and privilege of being able to share with you all, we were talking on the phone, and we were sharing, and we were just talking about several different things. And in the midst of our conversation, he just busted out and said, "But God is good." And he started talking about the goodness of the Lord. And as he spoke, my soul began to leap, and I heard the words of this Psalm 27 well up in my spirit. I heard, even though he didn't say these words, I heard in the spirit, "I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I believe I will see." You heard what I said. But no matter what is going on, he didn't have to articulate it. I heard it. "I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." It just seemed like the light of who God was, is, and always will be began to release from his spirit. And he said, no matter what, it will manifest. And it lit up the entire situation. The conversation shifted and everything changes. That's what the goodness of God does. It changes everything. Hallelujah. That welled up in my spirit. It just seemed like the light of who God was, is, and how he is being manifested and what he is doing lit up the entire situation, bringing to the dark valley the light that only God can bring. Like I said, no, he didn't say those exact words, but the spirit of the Lord erupted from his soul and shifted the moment. I share that with you because I don't want us to get it twisted. The words that we have heard them confess over these past couple of days and over the past 30 years are not empty words. They ain't something they done read someplace. They have learned of the goodness of God. And their words are backed up by their experience with God proving himself over and over and over again. They know something about walking through the valley of the shadow of death over and over again and having the Lord shine his light and carry them through and bring them out. And I'm sure they're not the only ones who know something about that. Anybody in here know anything about walking with God through the valley of the shadow of death? Then you ought to try to apply that reality to what our apostle and pastor have been experiencing. Sometimes things are dark, and we begin to walk through places that are too dark for us to see where we'll put the next step. But praise God for the light of God that shines in those moments. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. That rod and that staff represent God's goodness. I know we don't think the rod is a good thing all the time, but the rod is the best thing that can happen to any of us, because the rod of God helps us to keep that back straight, keep putting one foot in front of the other. It leads us. It shows us, you moving too far to the left. You moving too far to the right. His rod and his staff leads us to those still waters that we are always looking for. That's the goodness of God. That's the goodness of God. That's the goodness of God walking with us, chasing us down all of the days of our life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Anybody know about something about God being their light and their salvation? Over and over and over and over and over. I don't know about your testimony, but I need God to be my light and my salvation. Not just one time when I prayed that prayer at the front of the altar. I need God to save me from yesterday, save me from today, and save me from what I'm going to get into on tomorrow. I don't just need a ticket out of hell. I need salvation from the thoughts that run through my mind, the meditations that rest on my heart. And I know I'm not by myself. I know our apostles need it. I know our pastor needed it. I know I need it. And I know you need it. Over and over again. Not just a ticket out of hell, but saving us and them from giving up, giving in, and walking away. Oh, yeah, sometimes you feel like that. I know we always walk in, and I can talk about it. I'm a pastor. I ain't just talking about them. I'm telling you what I know. Sometimes we can walk up in here and you see a smile on our face and we're giving you encouragement. All the while, the enemy is beating us down with your stuff. And sometimes I want to encourage you, saints. Don't always be looking to take something. Sometimes you ought to come giving something. Why don't you come seek the Lord about an encouraging word for your apostle and your pastor? Open up your Bible and ask the Lord, what will you have me to say to them today? When you are in your valley or your shadow of death, why don't you say, God, I'm not going to focus on myself. Show me what to say to my apostle and my pastor so they can give me the way out. I dare you to try it. It'll work. The Lord will honor you so that he'll not only give you a word for them, but he'll give you what you're looking for too. I have no doubt in my mind that Apostle David and Pastor Linda have learned the hard way that God is a provider, God is a keeper, God is a mind regulator, God is a way maker, God is a friend, God is a hope, God is a light, God is a keeper. He is a mother to the mother, a father to the fathers. He is help in the midnight hour. Because the church will draw you. If they won't do nothing else, the church will bring you to your knees. Put you right where you need to be. And for the 30 years, when God called them out of obscurity, he didn't call them just because. He called them because he knew them. He knit them together in their mother's womb. And he had a plan, not just for them living faith, but he had a plan for you, and me too. And I'm so grateful that they honored God and kept his word. And I'm grateful that they know about the goodness of God. They didn't focus on the hardness of these past 30 years. They focused on the goodness of God because they knew that those hard lessons turned the theories about God into personal realities about God. And there is a difference. We can know all about that. We can walk around talking about I'm blessed by the best. As soon as things go bad, we putting our head down. Sometimes, I don't know how God gonna do it. I don't know how we gonna get out of it. I thought you was blessed by the blessed. No, but they recognize that God is who he says he is. God can do what he says he can do. And when they walk in the fullness of God and obedience of God, they can look beyond the difficult situations and see the goodness of God. And it shifts from platitudes. Platitudes are it's just a fancy way of saying big things. You talk good things about God, but they don't pan out in real life. When after 30 years, all those platitudes about God have become a reality. The fact that God will keep you in the midnight hour, reality. The fact that he'll make a way out of no way, reality. The fact that he's a provider, reality. the fact that he'll move mountains in order to accomplish his purpose and his will. Oh, reality. I ain't been here over the past 20 years, but I've been here. I was here when we shifted from the log cabin to Midway Boulevard. And I saw God move. I saw God turn an empty, ugly-looking building into a beautiful edifice where we were able to meet God every single time we joined together in that place. And that don't come easy. And I got to say, not all the time are we as the congregation helping bring it about. But their faithfulness has always ensured that we would meet God. Even if we, definitely we're going to meet him in the building, but we would always meet God in them. When we approached them, we would see the God in them, and we would encounter God. After 30 years, I have no doubt in my mind that they know that it was this, the hard-fought victories that strengthened them for what was to come. And I thank God that they obeyed. I want to encourage you that there are still battles to be won, Apostle David and Pastor Linda. But I hear the voice of God saying, because you have been faithful stewards over these few things, I will give you stewardship over many, many more things. And haven't they been faithful, living faith? Somebody in this room ought to testify. Haven't they been faithful? Yes, yes, you ought to testify to their faithfulness to pray over you, to pray over your life, to pray over your marriage, to pray over your children. Even while they were going through their own stuff, they took a break from their own stuff and they looked out for you and your children, me and my marriage. They prayed over your money, your ministry, your job, your house, this house, that house. They prayed over the mess that was going on in your mind. Just think about it. Let me give you a second. Because sometimes I know we miss it. I know we do. Because we are so, we are so self-absorbed, right? And we think we only ones got something going on. But I need you to look around. Look around in this building. Now multiply your stuff, which you know is enough all by itself. Multiply your stuff by every person you see in this building. And all of that stuff is on them and has been on them. Now don't just limit it to that, because we said there were more than 800 people who made their way through these buildings. So multiply your stuff, our stuff, and their stuff. All that stuff. Multiply it. And remember that they have been carrying that for 30 years. And can I just add in the stuff they got going on in their own life with their own children? With their own finances, with their own extended family. Oh, come on, you ought to. This ain't no light work. And it hasn't been, and to do it for 30 years? Oh, my word. Wait, let me take a minute. Thirty years. Have you been faithful as they have? You don't have to answer that right now. For now, let's just focus on their faithfulness. Because 30 years of confidently trusting in the goodness of God is the result of a clear and steady focus. Somebody say clear and steady focus on building the house of the Lord. It's in the text. It tells us in verse 4 that David declares, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." You see, saints, after all that David had experienced as a shepherd and as a king, the one thing he desired above it all was to dwell in the house of the Lord. David had a love for the house of the Lord, and it is manifested in his declaration of his desire to be a doorkeeper in God's house, to dwell there, and even to build a house for the Lord. You remember David? He's the one who took all of his riches and gave them to his son Solomon to build the house God told him he wasn't qualified to build. David had a love for the house of God. David wasn't mad about it, talking about why you ain't choose me, why you ain't. No. David said, I will give everything that I have, all that I am, every dime, every gold coin to build, because he loved the house of God. And he was able and desired to yield himself to the plan of God. David had a love for the house of God. In Psalm, David acknowledges the house of God in many different shapes and sizes and all of the different manifestations it takes on. In the original language, David describes God's house as a temple right here in this one Psalm. A temple, a tent, a dwelling, a rock, or a building not made by human hands at all. If I had more time, I would relate each of these articulations with what Faith Temple and Now Living Faith has been over the past 30 years. But I don't. It will have to suffice for now to say that for 30 years, Apostle David and Pastor Linda have had a clear and steady focus on building the house of the Lord, aka the church. Over these 30 years, they have seen the church as a temple of faith, a place that their sons and daughters would one day continue to build. And I want to encourage you, Apostle and Pastor, no matter what it looks like, the word of the Lord declares that the seed of the righteous shall be saved. And before it's all said and done, your children, your children's children, and their children's children are going to continue to build. We talked about legacy. I know sometimes it don't look the way it's supposed to look. I know sometimes things don't pan out the way. I know sometimes it gets dreary and dark and things are, but I want to declare today, write it down, somebody, make it plain, your children and your children's children and their children's children will live to build God's kingdom right here, not in this building though, because we ain't gonna be here forever. But what you, the seed that you have sown and the fruit that you have reaped, your children and your children's children will consume that fruit and produce an even greater seed and harvest in Jesus' name. 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 We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for what you are going to do. But don't let me get ahead of myself. Through these 30 years, they've seen they've seen the house of God as a humble tent that they could set up and take down so that many can find shelter in it on their journey. Do you remember those times when you were setting it up and taking it down? Praise God for growth. They've seen this place not only as a temple and a tent, but they've also seen it, the house of God, as a dwelling place where many have found refuge. I don't know about you, but I found refuge several times in Living Faith Whidbey Island. They've seen it as a rock in a weary land and a kingdom that their human hands could not build. That's why they've trusted in the Lord. Even when circumstances seem dim, Apostle David and Pastor Linda continue to confidently trust in the goodness of God. For in the time of trouble, they believed that God would hide them in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. They believed that he would hide them and cover them and keep them and make a way for them. So they resisted the urge to fight their own battles. Instead, they put their trust in the goodness of God. My husband told you I'm a bona fide street fighter from New Jersey. But look what the Lord has done. And I can remember several times when we have had things going on when we were here. And in my spirit, I'd be like, stand up. Do something. Fight them. Let's beat them up. We can get them. And you know how our apostle is. You know how he is. And I can, you know, I remember getting next to Pastor Linda like, come on. And there was just a peace that no, and they both decided we are not going to fight this battle. We're going to do what? We're going to trust God. We're going to, and you know, and that's exactly what Pastor Linda does. We're going to trust God. She does that little thing with her head. We're going to trust God. Teach, teach. The Holy Ghost thing right there, because even when they're not present, when she's not present, I can close my eyes and the Spirit of God will show me that. And I am grateful. Sometimes the situation worked itself out and other times it didn't, but through it all, they believed that God heard their cry and would answer them. Therefore, they would be strengthened, and God gave them wisdom, and God gave them clarity to face every situation for 30 years. Even when things didn't change, haven't changed, ain't going to change, and never. They threw all of their weight, like Pastor David says, if God moves an inch, I'll fall on my face. Over the past 30 years, they threw all of their weight on the goodness of God that was running after them every day, all day, on good days and bad days, yesterday, today, tomorrow, and all the days of their lives. They were able to keep pressing forward, knowing that no matter what was in front of them and no matter how many false witnesses rose up against them, that the goodness of God was chasing after them. And it was only a matter of time before that goodness would catch up to them and overtake them and change and transform the entire situation. After 30 years of ups and downs, there remains even still a blessed assurance, if you will. And their testimony is similar to that of David in verse 13. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That, beloved, that right there is the force behind 30 years of faithful ministry, 30 years of confidently trusting in the goodness of the Lord, not just in the sweet by and by, but in the sometimes sour here and now. They believe that they will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and not just for themselves. When they look at you and when they look at me, they believe that they will see the goodness of the Lord in you and I, in the land of the living. That's why they persevere with us. That's why they strive with us. That's why they continue to pray for us and seek God for us and correct us and to take that rod and beat us back into shape sometimes, because they believe that they will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, in your life and in my life. That's what keeps them going. That's what keeps them praying. That's what keeps them getting up and coming to this place over and over and over again. That's what keeps them in the midnight hour when it's dark. That's what keeps them in the valley of the shadow of the death. That's what keeps them when they are being pursued by an unconquerable enemy. That's what keeps them. That ought to be what keeps me and you. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it sounds like, I believe, not based on who I am, not based on what I've done, not based on what I can do, but based on the God of all creation, the God who spoke and it was, the God who intended. My good, I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And this expectation frames their hope. It has been their hope over the past 30 years, and it frames their hope for the next 10 or 20 years of ministry to come. They believe that they will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, in a mighty harvest from the seeds that they have sown. They expect to continue to see answered prayer. They expect to continue to see souls saved, restored marriages, addictions broken, stony hearts turned into flesh. They expect to see lives transformed. They expect to see new businesses, new homes, new cars. They expect to see more elders, more pastors, more deacons, more lay people serving God. They expect to see bigger buildings. They expect to see a plethora of people. They expect to see the vision coming to pass. They expect to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. For 30 years, they have sought God's face, trusted God's timing, and answered God's call. And for 30 years, God has lifted up their head, giving them victory over every single enemy, over and over and over. I don't have enough time to articulate every over and over that would contain 30 years. But every single time, things we know about and things we don't know about, over and over again, God has been with them. And on this 30 celebration of 30 years of ministry, Apostle David and Pastor Linda, it has been said already several times, it has only just begun. Jesus did not begin
intense ministry until the 30th year. And I know you ain't tired yet. I know you ain't tired yet, because the Bible says he will cause us to mount up on wings like eagles. We will run and not grow weary. We will walk and not faint. It has only just begun. What we are seeing, it has been said several times, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men what God has in store for you. And it's not, don't think it's strange. You know, when my husband was introducing me, I wanted to get up here and say, who, me? And sometimes we want to say that to God, who, me? Yes, you. Could it be? Then who? You. And you. For the sake of the kingdom, for the glory of God, and for the lives that stand before you today, both in the building and online, God is going to do greater things than these because of your faithfulness. Because of your faithfulness. And I know when we say that, we think about it up here. But I'm not talking about faithfulness up here. I'm talking about faithfulness when you're sick, when you're tired, when you've been betrayed, when you're sick and tired and betrayed. Faithfulness when the one you thought would didn't. Faithfulness when what you thought you could do, you didn't or couldn't. Faithfulness. That's what faithfulness in the goodness of, not in the goodness of yourselves, but putting that confidence in the goodness of God. Because Jesus told, there ain't no goodness in us, nothing good in us. Only thing good in us is the Holy Ghost, and we fight against that so much. If it wasn't the Holy Ghost, we would squash it out. But because he's so much bigger and stronger, we can't overtake his goodness. And his goodness follows us. Mercy and his goodness and mercy, they follow us all the days of our lives. And their hearts cry. You know, when they show up, that's the manifestation of their desire to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So be of good courage. God will continue to strengthen your life. The Lord is your light and your salvation. Whom shall you fear? The Lord is the strength of your life. Of whom shall you be afraid? When the wicked came, are coming, and will come upon you to eat of your flesh, they will stumble and fall. Though a host will encamp round about you and come against you, don't let your heart fear. Though wars may rise against you, in this you will be confident. Keep on fostering that desire to dwell in the house of the Lord. Keep on seeking his face as he calls you to seek his face. You will continue to behold the beauty of the Lord. Keep on inquiring in his temple, and know that in the time of trouble, he will continue to hide you in his temple, in his pavilion, in his tabernacle, the secret place of his tabernacle. He will continue to hide you. He will keep on setting your feet high upon a rock and lifting up your head above the enemies that surround you. Keep on offering sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. Keep on singing. Yes, keep on singing praises to the Lord. The Lord hears you. The Lord sees you. He hears your cry. He is continuing to have mercy upon you. He will continue to answer you when he keep on crying out. He's not going to hide his face from you. He is not going to keep an angry face toward you. He will not turn his face toward you. His countenance of blessing is lifted up upon you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is not only the God of your eternal salvation, but he is the God who saves you day after day after day after day from yourself and from anyone else who would seek to come after you. When your mother and father have forsaken you or gone on to be with the Lord will lift you up. He will not deliver you to the will of your adversaries. And those false witnesses, those lying tongues, they will be brought down. Don't lose heart. Keep on believing that you will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and wait on the Lord. Young lady said yesterday, write the vision and make it plain. Though it tarry, wait for it. This is the 30th year. And I was a little apprehensive, but I'm going to prophesy what the Lord has spoken. Over the next 3 years, there will be immense and intense ministry. Intense ministry. There is an expediency that is upon this ministry. And just like it was for Jesus, so it will be for you. Ministry will be intense, but you hold on. You ain't going to the cross. He already did. Don't worry about that. But the glory of the Lord, just like he rose on the third day, the glory of the Lord will rise upon this place. And men and women from near and far will see it and know that it is just the work of the Lord manifesting in this place. In the name of Jesus. So wait on the Lord and be of good courage. And he will, not he might, not maybe, he will strengthen your heart. Like David said, wait on the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. I wish I had another word. You know. Yeah, if it had not been for the Lord, but also if it had not been for the Lord working through you, where would we be? And I'm not the only one who has that testimony. Mm-mm. I know you can do better than that. I'm not the only one who has that testimony. Thank you for 30 years of faithfully trusting in the goodness of the Lord. Thank you. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. Oh yes, he has. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am made.
And we thank God for that word. Amen.